Floyd.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Summer Replacement Show, also known as Mel and Floyd. Mel is still getting used to the dead guy's knee. So filling in for him today is myself, Ruby. Floyd is still on assignment, but joining us, as always, is the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
I think the problem is that the guy's knee is not getting used to Mel. that's where the problem is arising. His knee keeps doing things it's not supposed to do. It's like just like it starts doing little kicks and things like that.
Starts walking
by
itself.
It's got a mind of its own. Yeah, it's just like, what is this? What kind of mess is this?
You know, on my way into the station today, there was a guy over on the bike path walking his dog, and the dog was just like standing, just like not interested in walking the direction the man was, and that must be what it's like for Mel right now. He's trying to walk one direction, the knee's just like, no, I want to go get a sandwich.
So how many eyes did the dog have?
Just the regular two.
Oh, regular two. Oh, so uninteresting.
I know.
One or three, but not two.
Not two.
So I'm back.
Yeah, welcome back. Tell me about your trip.
Thank you so much. I will, but before I do, I just want to mention, many people know that today is a special day for me, and probably if Mel were here for him too, which is, it's the 50th anniversary of the resignation of Richard Nixon. Hot damn. And so that's very exciting. And that was my late mother's birthday as well.
Oh, okay.
So it was a nice twofer. We'd always like celebrate mom's birthday and the Nixon resignation. She would stand in the doorway of the helicopter with her fingers poised. So that was great. And but I want to tell a story. There's a local color story that was told to me a few years ago by an older friend of mine who it's very funny and it's very typical of what happens when you see this sort of thing. Apparently, people were so jazzed. Now, as you should remember that when you're looking at 50 years, you're looking day and date are being the same. So it was Friday, August 9th, 1974. Nixon had announced the day before he was resigning, and he effectively was no longer present as of noon of that day. Well, apparently that evening, many Madisonians, many people probably listening to this very radio station, got super excited down on where were they? Not Willie Street. It was over downtown. People downtown got very excited. And Mifflin Street. Over in Mifflin. And of course, on West Mifflin. And people got very excited and they started a bonfire. And apparently they were picking like pieces of wood and, branches from trees.
Sure.
You know, this celebratory bonfire, just like something from our pagan past or something, right? And then pretty soon they were running out of things, so they started using pieces of fences and started seeing chairs and things like that. So my older friend was telling me that his friend was getting so excited, and then he said, look at that, somebody ripped off the back steps of one of these houses and is throwing it onto the bonfire. And then he said, oh, wait, those are my steps.
No.
And this is what always happens, of course, whenever some rampaging thing like that happens. It's all fun and games until it's your back steps,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And then it's like, wait, stop everybody.
Does homeowner's insurance or renter's insurance cover that?
What, once in a lifetime presidential resignations? I don't think it's in the policy.
I'm planning to have a little fire in my backyard, so I'll pretend, or now that I know, I'll do it in the,
oh, you
in the celebration.
It's great. Yeah, it's great. Again, it's like some pagan festival. It's wonderful. So, so that's I think of that story, and I think, you know, and the precursor to that, which was he resigned because the Supreme Court of the United States at that time voted 8-0 with actually one of the members recusing himself. What an interesting concept. because he'd worked in the Nixon administration. He recused himself. It was 8-0 that Nixon, if he was under a criminal indictment, had to turn over information relative to that indictment. Mm-hmm. And he knew the minute people listened to the so-called White House tapes, the Oval Office tapes, that they would know what a scamp he was. And so he contacted some folks in the Senate and said, hey, what do you think? What are my chances, guys? And they're like, like, I'm out of here.
Bye.
Yeah, bye. Exactly. He was noted for that.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.
So, now, I've actually been in the helicopter. So a few years ago, Companion and I went out to the Nixon Library Museum in Yorba Linda, and we saw the grave sites and the house that he grew up in and all this stuff. But the best is they have the original helicopter that he got in and flew away 50 years ago today at noon when his term ended. And you can stand in the doorway, and every single person does, stands in the doorway and does the fingers, you know, gets their picture taken. It's wonderful. So, it makes me feel happy when I think of that.
That's like real Americana.
It is. It is. Can't make up those stories. So we used to have, back in the day, we used to have criminal presidents. Thank goodness things have changed.
I mean, now we have a felon running for president.
You know? Yeah, running for president.
Running for
and
president.
And a Supreme Court that would say, yeah, whatever. But yeah, I'm back from, Companion and I were in Scotland. We went to the Fringe Festival. We also went to the St. Andrew's Golf Course, which is the oldest and the regulatory body for golf, because Companion has a friend who actually is on, believe it or not, I didn't realize we moved in such high circles, but he's on their board of directors or something.
And
he's a member, so we got to eat in the private dining room and drank an awful lot, and it was kind of fun.
Remind me that the Fringe Fest is like the Freaks and Weirdos Fest?
It's a lot of, it's art and theater and just, and it's all out there. So the thing that we saw was, one of the things that we saw was, it was Kafka's Metamorphosis as a musical.
Okay.
Told with puppets. And I have to say that last part, everything's better when there are puppets associated with it.
Did you have a favorite puppet? And what kind of puppets? Were they like marionettes? Were they?
Well, I mean, it helps with the special effects if you're going to do Metamorphosis to have a bug puppet, right?
Yeah.
And then, but also because the main actor who was playing Kafka, he was very shy, like Kafka was, and so he had a puppet that was kind of like puppet Kafka, which could say the things that he was, like, say things about his dad that he was afraid to say in his actual own voice, things like that, or sing things about his dad more appropriately. So the bad thing that happened, though, Ruby, I have to say, and I just want to let everybody know that this is still a thing, is we did get COVID, and I had a friend who just came back from Ireland. He and his wife had COVID, And they were saying at the time Scotland was being, you know, the numbers were going up. Fortunately, we've had all of our, you know, vaccinations and follow-ups and stuff. So it's pretty mild, but still it was annoying because you don't want to give other people your disease. You know, so you try to stay low a little bit. But
You know, Mel also had COVID.
Did he?
Yeah, while he was recovering. So apparently you just got it like in... to like sympathy, you know, you were like, oh, my friend has COVID, I'll get COVID too.
Well, I suspect as we were coming, you know, we were riding on the tram, you know, stuffed filled with people from all over the world. It's kind of like, hey, guys, you know, that's the COVID talking. Here we are. So,
you know, someone just Olympic sprinter from the U.S. just got bronze with COVID.
Yeah.
So.
And COVID then, was so proud.
COVID was so proud. COVID's first medal. It's on the medal tracker.
I just had this image of like this little blurby thing with the little spikes coming out with this kind of it's like a little medal around its neck. But yeah, no, it was great. And then we on the way back we went to Iceland, and because we did Iceland Air, and we went to a little island which I totally forgot about, which is. Now, 51 years later, it was an island that was where they had a little tiny fishing island and a volcano erupted and it totally buried the entire island.
Wow. a volcano. That's cool. Would you recommend that trip again? You just got handed a note.
Oh, I just got handed an important note. So somebody else who was there at the time, and again, I did emphasize I was talking to an older friend of mine who told me about this, but a listener who actually was there says that he knows there was the original bonfire. He said he knows there was a bonfire on State Street, but doesn't remember one on Mifflin. And somebody took a door off the last house on State Street and threw it on the bonfire. That's pretty good. It makes me wonder the extent to which my story that I have, which is a couple of removes, is actually apocryphal. And this could well be that what actually did happen. So thank you, listener. All we know is that it was a big bonfire and something got inappropriately burned.
Well, there was the Mifflin Street block party, right? That started as a riot.
Yeah.
So maybe you're like, maybe
no, that
the
was
story
early,
that you were heard.
That was earlier.
Maybe that story you were being told was combining the two.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the listener calling in, though. That's great because who knows? Something, there was a bonfire. Okay, everybody, revised story. There was a bonfire.
50 years ago.
Something inappropriate got burned because people were so excited about Nixon resigning.
Maybe more than one inappropriate
multiple
thing got burned.
Yeah, exactly. Multiples. So there's a museum on this little island, and Hemsie or something like that, and it in the museum is like, look at what our town used to look like, and now it's all in hell. Look at all the buried parts, and so they built an entire new town on top of the buried. Nobody died, you'll be happy to know, so that was good, but the population got smaller, and they don't do fishing anymore. They just do people coming to look at where the volcano buried the village. So
it's all tourist about the volcano.
Everything's tourist. Everything's tourist. You feel bad about stuff like that. I just kind of like, I'm tramping around with these other 5 million people. I don't know. If I was in Madison, well, actually, I am in Madison, and people were tramping around, I might be kind of like, go away.
Every Saturday during football season. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Madison Land. Uh-huh. Come to Madison Land. I used to joke about that back in the day. It was like all the people from other parts of the state, you know. I just had this image of us all wearing giant heads. Like, hi, I'm superannuated grad student. Or, I'm radical lesbian, you know. So all the people from Neenamawampum Bay would be happy because they would see all of their various characters in real life.
Taking pictures in State Street with the Capitol behind them.
A friend of mine who got married in town, his family was from Long Island, and they were kind of like, ugh, Wisconsin. You know, he came here to go to school, and he married a woman from here. And so when they came out to the wedding, it was cows on the concourse. It was so funny because his mother, they were having it at the Inn on the Park. Is it the Inn on the Park? Is that the name of it? The hotel up on the Capitol Square? But anyway, so they came out, and... And the mother was like, oh, my God. Is this normal? It's like, yep, it sure is, I said.
So
there's been a lot of political
news. Yeah, there
news
has been
since
a lot of political
I've
news.
Been gone. You guys got a new...
you guys?
You guys over here, you got yourselves...
You were gone for a week and a half.
You got yourself a new presidential candidate and a new vice presidential candidate and whatever. So how's that going? How's that going for you?
I think good.
Yeah.
You good? I mean, I
She's
think
She's a sassy pants. I like her.
Yeah. I think we talked about it. I think you were still here right after she...
Yeah.
Not maybe when she was officially... she officially got the candidacy, but... Yeah. I think people are a little bit more excited. They've been raising more money, having more volunteers, and I think that means people are lit up.
I'm just glad they didn't have to push Biden down a flight of stairs or something.
I don't know that I've told you this, but my husband Lux has this idea previously before Harris that he just wanted to see like a cage match. Just fight to the death, gladiator style. Whoever walks out of there, you earned it.
Yeah, right. That's a great idea. I think that's what the Republican candidate is still hankering for.
Yeah.
He seems a little gobsmacked by the whole situation. Like, what? That's not, every time he encounters something, it's like he's 5 years old. Every time he encounters something he can't do, he's like, it's not fair. This is not fair. You guys are cheating.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, whatever.
I mean, I get it too, though. Like, if I thought that I was going to go up against, like, the sleepiest guy that we could find, and then they brought out Harris, I'd be a little like, oh crap.
Yeah. Plus, there's a little grudge element to it, too. Yeah. Right? It's like, that's the guy that beat me last time. Although he's not acknowledging that openly, but Trump's probably like, oh, man, I want to show him. I'm going to really beat him. So, but didn't work out that way.
No, it did not. Harris's pick for her running mate, Tim Walz, is from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And Mel, as our resident Minnesotan.
Yes, he is. That's true. It's the one thing he's really good at.
He said that Minnesota is the land of vice presidents.
Yes.
Humphrey, Mondale, and now maybe Walz. It's perfect because we're really more comfortable at number two. Less pressure and not too showy. Sort of like being the second in command.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you want to do? Whatever. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll help out. He also, Mel, brought to my attention that if Harris and Walz win, the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, Peggy Flanagan, would become governor, and she'd be the first Native American governor in U.S. history.
Yeah.
He also says, as a bonus, because her name is Peggy, they already have plenty of Get Pegged Minnesota memes. So
whatever that means, I have no idea.
Don't Google it.
Okay. I was fascinated by Walz because one of his signature accomplishments is something that was super important to me as a kid, not in Minnesota, but in Kentucky, which is his whole thing about school lunches and school breakfasts and stuff. And I, you know, I talk about this as, like, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I was comparing my upbringing to J.D. Vance, where I got from looking around me and seeing what it was like to grow up in that environment, that thank God there's people other than my family around to lend a helping hand because I'd be in bad shape. But you know, the Republicans are kind of like, yeah, school breakfast, who needs that? Or whatever, you know, like, what?
It's like if kids are hungry, it's their darn fault.
Yeah, I mean their favorite musical is Oliver. Yeah, it's the gruel for you.
We're the most charismatic orphan gets out okay. The rest,
it's a dog eat dog with those orphans. No, I know that's exactly it. And then of course, the minute that dog eat dog orphan gets out, you know, the tech bros pick him up and make him into a vice presidential candidate. So.
You know, last week we didn't do a Mel and Floyd show. We aired some clips from Channel 89.
Oh, very good.
And I was really impressed. You guys were funny and creative and did a lot of voices.
Yeah.
I think you've been sleeping on us.
Yeah. Well, that was when we were young and in our prime. Yeah. Let's put it that way. No, that was the story. I think maybe I've shared this before, but we had Channel 89, which was television without the annoying pictures. And it was mostly Mel and Floyd wrote it. I did a little things here and there, but that was mostly their baby. And it was really good stuff. I mean, they had their little separate shows, and we had sponsors. You know, we had Placebo Brand, the little yellow pill that cures just about everything. And Infamous Footwear, if you're evil, we've got your shoe. And Clan White, that was one of our favorites. Get your sheets, they're very whitest with Clan White. And it was really good. And what happened was, and that was the genesis of this show, was that there was a troupe of radio actors. We had some folks that were associated with the university, with improv and the community and stuff. And they would do, you know, read these radio plays and radio bits. And then everybody graduated at the same time. Yeah. And there we were. And we're like, okay, now what? So that's why we're the summer replacement show. We just thought, well, we'll just coast over the summer. And then we'll get a bunch of people back together in the fall.
You kept coasting.
And here it is, 2 decades later or whatever. 3 decades later. Well, how long has it been now? Gosh.
Yeah, because Mel and Floyd was a segment on channel 89.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So did you and our News and Public Affairs coordinator?
Gladys. Gladys pulled some of the clips, and I sat here and sort of corrected some of the audio.
Oh, excellent. Things, well, yeah. You know, I should listen to that because I was just kind of like, I didn't realize you guys did that. That's
yeah,
great.
There was one of the main features of the episode that we played. Is his name Peter Picasso? There's a guy, Joe Picasso.
Oh, yeah. Floyd actually did an extensive citywide postering for that, which was hysterically funny. It was a classic Picasso image with like faces going in three directions underneath that said, "Have you seen this man?" Listen to Joe Picasso on WRT.
That's so good. The episode started with a man on the street interview, and the reporter was asking, "What do you think of Mel and Floyd?" And the person who was being interviewed said, "Who?" Yeah, highly recommend. And I
take that, Madison Magazine.
Yeah. I posted a different show that I had done for Wart on Facebook, and someone underneath it commented, "I really loved the Channel 89 show. Those guys are so talented."
Yeah.
So I think listeners liked it.
Yeah. Well, and if you really want to hear jokes about George Bush the first, just dive right in. I used to do the imitation of the first George Bush.
Yeah.
And it was my imitation of basically of Jack Benny. You know, I would do a Jack Benny imitation. So that was my little take on it. So it was back in the day. Well, and we had a series called Dan Quayle on the Fair Lanes of Mars, because as is often the case with underqualified vice presidents, they tried to find something for him to do. And so the first Bush administration said, "We'll put him in charge of the conquest of Mars." And he gave this crazy, this is an actual real thing now. He gave this crazy speech where he said, "Well, you know, on Mars, there's canals, and where there's canals, there's water, and where there's water, there's life." So he apparently... And he was a big golfer, so we had the idea that maybe he wanted to go to Mars to set up some fair lanes on Mars. Because there's water there, so it's prime real
perfect.
Estate.
Yeah, you know. Wow. Wow.
Why? Bring it back memories.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Jimmy Carter was in the news this week. He's been in the hospice, for about 17 months, and he says if things don't go well with Kamala, he's ready to step up. So, no, what he did say was he's ready to vote for her. James Earl Carter Jr. is 99 years old. He served as our nation's 39th president from 1971 to 1981, and he will, if he survives, turn 100 on October 1st. And he's basically beat poor John Adams' record as being the oldest ex-president, you know, right in the butt. So he's going to be the oldest president that has ever lived.
Yeah, to be fair, I was, when you first brought him up, I was like, didn't he die? But he has not.
Well, he's not doing that great. I mean, he was at his wife's funeral. They were married for 77 years. That's a long marriage.
That is a long time.
And so early voting begins in Georgia on October 15th. So he could well be 100 if he does make it to that date. He could be a 100-year-old ex-president voting for the Harris-Walls ticket. So look forward to that.
Speaking of early voting, the ballot boxes in Madison have been unlocked as of Tuesday. So you can start dropping your absentee ballots in those boxes. They were ruled constitutional by the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Until the next election. the next Supreme Court election, in which case it'll be right back where it was. So if you want to upset the whole electoral system, please go right out and do that.
It's going to be like, have you ever gone to the website, is Mercury in retrograde? And it's just a website that says yes or no. There's gonna be a thing that's like, are Wisconsin's ballot drop boxes constitutional? Yes or no?
Yeah.
And you have to check it before every election.
Retrograde is nice too, because that has more than one meaning, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent. I read this week too that, or was it last week, that there was a judge that ruled. Oh, it was the beginning of this week, I think, that the Google search engine is basically is a monopoly.
It is.
It's squashing competition, stifling innovation, and all the rest.
So. And you know what they said? Don't hate us because we're the best.
Is that what they said?
It's called Googling it for a reason.
Well, you know, I really thought that, I was thinking about this. It's like the Republican idea about how elections works is a lot how a lot, not surprisingly, influenced a lot by how corporations think about the free market.
Yeah.
It's free and when you're scrabbling and trying to win. But once you've won, then we don't need that noise anymore. You know? It's like, now we're in charge, you know, and that's that. So very, very similar structural thinking there.
Well, and like, yeah, it's... But we're not going to change what it's called. We're still doing free market.
Yeah,
we're just Google.
Yeah,
and
Well, I mean, you can freely vote for the one choice. So, I remember seeing a few years ago some of the ballots that they used to do in Nazi Germany. Because, you know, one of the things that people don't remember or didn't maybe don't even know is that during the whole period of time of Hitler's dictatorship, they're still electing people to parliament and having parliaments and things like that. But they just would basically get together and say, yeah, whatever that guy says. But they would do these little plebiscites or referenda or whatever. And it was so funny because it would say, you know, do you want to do blah, 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 whatever it was. And then they would have a giant circle that said, yeah. On
it, you know? Little tiny circle.
Like nine. It's like, okay, now which one do I want to do?
It's like those... there's, you know, recently we've had a lot of constitutional amendments on the Wisconsin ballot. Sure. And sometimes they're written in ways that you're like, okay, I think you want me to say this.
Yeah.
And the way it's written is making me second guess it, which is why you have to do your research.
Well, they pay squadrons of lawyers to come up with the most convoluted way of describing that. Just for that reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Usually, it's nice to always start by putting it in the negative, too. Yeah. So that way you really have no idea.
Do you think that it shouldn't be that it is?
Exactly.
That they can't.
Yeah. That they can't, yes. They, you know, them.
Yeah, they.
Very clear, very clear. Hey, speaking of dictators, you may have heard that Elon Musk was in the news this week. He was taunting the new prime minister of the UK. I don't know if you heard about this. It was big news, of course, when Companion and I were over in the UK. There was a stabbing at Southport, England, and it was a person from whose family was from another nation. And so across this, it was immediately this opportunistic, you know, crazy right wing, you know, flare up, people rioting all over the country. And apparently Mr. Musk, the tech billionaire and the owner of the social media platform X, as in Hammond X, he said he posted on Sunday that he said there's going to be a civil war in the UK. And new Prime Minister Keir Starmer, Sir Keir Starmer, was not terribly happy.
He tweeted, shut up.
Shut it. Shut it, mate. And I was reading The Scotsman when we were over there, of course. You know, Scotland is slightly more progressive than the rest. Well, actually, in some ways, much more progressive than the rest of the United Kingdom. And the Glasgow City Council was like, no right-wingers here. Do not even come here. Do not even try any mischief. We've already voted.
Yeah.
Don't do it. So the reaction in the United Kingdom has been mostly like, really? This is what you're going to do? You know, this is crazy. But any little piece of data in favor of their conspiracy theories is all you need. So, and that seems like it's worldwide.
Yeah, it does. Did you see, well, I don't know why you would have seen this, RFK Jr. went on Twitter this week and admitted to dumping a dead bear in Central Park in 2014. So apparently in 2014...
The worm is turning, I think. Yeah.
A six-month-old bear cub was found in Central Park.
No.
And the way it was, it looked like it had been hit by a bicycle and killed. But RFK Jr. posted on his Twitter... in a conversation, he was like, you know, he was talking on video that he had found that dead bear cub after it had been hit by a car in upstate New York. He then put it in his van because he was going to take it home, eat the meat, I guess. And yeah, I don't know what he's going to do with the fur.
Yeah.
But then he was out all day and he was like, well, I have to go to the airport now. So he thought it'd be funny to leave the bear in Central Park and make it look like it had been hit by a bike. And that was in 2014, and now he is finally taking credit for...
Credit?
Yeah. Taking responsibility.
Okay, thank you. Maybe in his mind he's taking credit, who knows?
Yeah.
Golly. That guy's still popping around, huh?
Yeah, he is.
All right. Hey, one last thing before the commercial break. I just, you may have seen this. The Supreme Court of these United States did something surprisingly positive for a change. On Monday, they rejected a lawsuit from Missouri that asked the justices to intervene in the hush money case in New York. You know, the one where the former president was convicted of falsifying business records. Mm-hmm. The attorney general of Missouri had gone to the Supreme Court asking that it basically use its power over the what? Well, over what? I don't even know where this is coming from. To defer Mr. Trump's sentencing. Of course, Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito were like, oh, yeah, whatever. But the rest of the court was like, no, we don't think we're going to get involved in that. So they did not.
We have got to take a break. You are listening to Mel and Floyd on WORT 89.9 FM Madison. You might be listening in the future. Thanks to Mindless Minion D-Cubed, who puts things on all the podcasting apps. Or you could be listening on the archives or on our wonderful WORT app. What do you got when we come back, Pants?
I have that teen mental health is improving, according to the most recent stats that have been created.
That's good.
Yeah, I thought that was a positive piece of news that I wanted to share with folks.
I've got some loon news for you.
Some what?
Loon.
Loon?
Loon news.
Ooh. Loon-tacular.
We'll be right back.
I don't care about your past.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street. Specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Dane Dances, a free family-friendly event on the Monona Terrace rooftop every Friday evening in August. This week features Luisito Rosario at 6 p.m. and VO5 at 8 p.m. Carry-in chairs, blankets, and baskets are permitted. No carry-in alcohol. More information on the Dane Dances concert series is available at danedances.org.
It's the return of Parks and Open Streets at Ride the Drive 2024 on Sunday, August 11th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Right on away from...
Organized by the City of Madison Parks Division, Ride the Drive is more than 4 miles of city streets, closed to motor vehicles with park hubs along the way offering activities, food, and fun for all ages. Since the inaugural event in 2009, Ride the Drive has celebrated Madison's commitment to a healthy, active lifestyle, focusing on environmental and economic impacts and the importance of social integration. The route this year stretches from McPike Park on Willie Street, down John Nolan to Olin Park, and up Regent Street to Edward Cleef Park. More information can be found on the City of Madison website or by searching for Ride the Drive on Instagram. Ride the Drive returns for 2024 on Sunday, August 11th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You are listening to WORT Madison.
And we are back.
Hot damn.
Hot damn.
So there are small signs of improvement in the mental health of U.S. teens. This is according to a new government survey. From 2021 to 23, the portion of high school students who reported feelings of persistent sadness or hopelessness declined from 42% to the normal 40%. You remember what it was like to be in high school. This is according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Now, this was a really good study. They surveyed more than 20,000 students in the spring of 2023. And, of course, we all know that the COVID-19 pandemic disrupted a lot of school activities and means people were having a harder time being with other people. And being with other people is a very important thing. In 2023, 77% of students said that they used social media several times a day. And 16% said that they'd been electronically bullied. But even despite these countervailing forces, the feelings people had of feeling a little bit better about things were showing up in the statistics. So that's nice.
When I was in high school, about 15 years ago, give or take, we had this social media that was called Form Spring.
Okay.
And it was like an anonymous online, like, question asking app. So you'd go online, you'd go to, like, you know, formspring.com/ruby, and you'd get to my question box and you could just ask me anything.
Okay.
Anonymously.
Oh, okay.
And the amount of bullying that happened on that would be like, did you and so-and-so go to third base? Did you really cheat on the math exam? Did you really know that no one likes you?
Those are what we call leading questions.
Yeah. So it makes sense to me that many teenagers experience bullying online.
Yeah, I know.
It's what it's made for, I guess.
Well, I mean, anything that can, I think this about a lot of stuff that human beings make. It's kind of like, this will empower humans. Like, you realize that's a terrible idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, and especially with social media, where the money is made on how long they can get you to stay engaged. My grandpa really got into Facebook Reels recently. And so he'll watch Facebook Reels, little videos, while he's watching TV. And they've spanned the generational spectrum because meanwhile, my sister is watching the same TV, but on TikTok scrolling. So, you know.
So we're taking in a lot of information.
See, I
have to say that maybe it's probably something to do with my psyche, but I get information overload easily.
Yeah.
I've always been that way. Too much stuff is like too much stuff. And so I like things that are quiet. I like to be with, like, you know, usually fewer than 20 people at a time. Things like that. It's just anything other than that is problematic. And I feel a little bit like that with social media platforms. It's like, I would like to just, sit down quietly with somebody and talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, rather than constantly be wondering, you know, what that person is saying and what they're expecting me to say next and what 15 people that I've never heard of are saying and so on. I think that's how Mel and I have done the show for many years. We know that people are out there, but, you know, we don't really, they're purely notional, really. So it's just basically him and me talking to each other.
You're only forced to face the consequences like 3 times a year when you're at different festivals in the summer.
There must be more festivals that we haven't gone to yet. Do you know what the next one is?
Well, there's Ride the Drive, which isn't exactly a festival, but it's a event that's happening this weekend where they've closed several streets and you can ride your bikes to different festival locations at different parks. McPike. Okay. This was just a promo. Olin, there's a couple other parks. And then there's the Magic Pride Festival happening next weekend at Warner Park. And there's got to be a couple others still.
So that's something that in Iceland, that's a huge deal because I told you we spend a few days in Iceland. And so they have one of the biggest, like proportionally, they probably do have the biggest Pride event in the world, because the percentage of the population that goes to it, I mean, there's only like, 400,000 people there. It's like everybody goes. And what's really amazing about that is it's only 30 years ago that people didn't even kind of like publicly acknowledge what it was. And now everybody's into it. So it's kind of
trendy.
The word for gay, and they didn't have a word for gay really in Icelandic. They just called them sados for sodomites. Isn't that charming?
I mean, you really like cut the fat, you know?
Yeah. Get to the chase here. Yeah. Exactly.
What are you guys all about? Oh, okay.
Got it. I was reading this one testimonial from this woman who was talking about what it was like back in the day in Iceland for she was talking about lesbians too, but mostly she was talking about gay men because that's often stigmatized much more obviously. And she was saying, well, there were these two farmers and they were really friendly and they were probably more than friendly and blah, 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 blah. But we never, you know, they were okay because they were good farmers and they're reliable, you know, always returned your rake or whatever, you know. And so the interviewer was like, well, how do you know that there was something going on? It turns out everyone was watching them through binoculars behind the barn. And I was just thinking about that Governor Walz's thing. It's like the golden rule, mind your own damn business.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, okay, if you don't want to know whether somebody's the farmers are in the Dell or not, then don't get out your binoculars, you know. But I just found that fascinating. But yeah, it's a big event. And while we were there, it was so fun. There's the big church they have right in the middle of Reykjavik, with the Leif Erikson statue and everything. They have a big road behind it, you know, kind of access road. And so a bunch of school kids and activists and stuff that were involved in it, they painted a giant rainbow flag on the road leading up to the church. It was so
nice.
That's
really nice.
Yeah. So like stuff like that's really cool.
Cool. It sounds like pretty soon airlines can be banned from charging fees for seating families together.
Mm.
Good old Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg and the National Economic Council Director.
Or Secretary Cat Lady.
Lael Brainard. Said that people should be allowed to sit with their kids and they shouldn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, I wish they would sit with kids. I'm totally for that. Now, Tyler, remember what we promised. Yeah. I'll let you remind Tyler.
Yeah. You'd be really nice to these two men who are sitting on the other side of you.
Yeah, that's right. Because they will eviscerate you with their wit. Yeah. So, you know, don't let that happen. Hey, in economic news, the Biden administration announced just this week that it would award up to $450 million in grants to a South Korean chip maker, SK Hynix. And that chip maker is going to start making chips, computer chips, in a new facility in Indiana. And it's kind of a milestone. This is the world's five leading chip makers have now promised to build plants in the United States, to invest in the United States.
Wow.
So they have commitments from all of them. This is a big deal. And so the other, in case you're curious, the others are Intel, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, Samsung, and Micron.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah. my dad's a 30-year Micron employee.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Yep. So the Commerce Secretary, Gina Raimondo, announced this, and she said, these are the only companies in the world capable of producing leading-edge chips at scale. And asked for comment, the former president said, chips, I love chips.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you started talking, I was like, oh. I mean, obviously, I like computer chips based on the fact that it paid the mortgage of the house that I lived in for a very long time.
Tasty, as long as they don't have too much salt on them.
The tasty, hard to digest, though. All the metals.
Here's a story from Japan. According to Japan's meteorological agency, came out on Thursday, there's a higher than usual chance, and this is very sad, people, of an immense earthquake that could hit the country in the next few days. There was a 7.1 magnitude trembler off the southern island of Kyushu, and Japan has been long expecting a major earthquake. Last year, researchers said there was a 60% chance of an earthquake with a magnitude 8 or 9, which would be even more devastating than that one back in 2011.
Wow.
So So after the earthquake on Thursday, the meteorological agency got a bunch of experts together, and they said they're kind of worried about what's going to happen. Not only, of course, from the earthquake itself, but from the tsunami. So there's a this thing called the Nankai Trough, which is, you know, it's a subterranean, obviously, or subsea rift that could cause some major damage. So there's a tsunami. Currently, a tsunami advisory for coastal regions of southern Japan.
It's wonderful to live on an island until it's not.
Well, exactly. That's the whole thing in Iceland, right? It's like, you could turn on the hot water in Iceland in any faucet, and it is boiling hot in two seconds. It's like, that's wonderful. But also, it could blow up your entire house.
Sure.
You know,
like, yeah.
Moments notice. We were there 2 years ago when the new volcanic rifts started, and there were earthquakes there in Reykjavik when we were there a couple years ago. Would it be? Was that? Yeah, 2 years ago would have been. So yeah. There's still areas. There's a little town not too far out of Reykjavik on the way to the Keflavik, the airport, called Grindstad. And Grindstad is just crossed off the map, crossed off the sign. It's just like a line through it. Like, there's nothing there now, yeah. Folks. So I'll go to Grindstad.
Okay. Bringing it back home a little bit, the town of Mercer held its Loon Day earlier. That was really good. You should go next year.
Okay.
It's held annually on the first Wednesday of August, and they have loon call competitions.
Wow.
So you might have a be up for the runnings for your loon call.
Loons love me.
250 businesses and organizations had booths at Loon Day in Mercer, and you know, this is happening even with a nearly three-decade decline since 1993. Do you want to guess how much the loon population in northern Wisconsin has decreased by?
20%.
Yeah, 22%.
Oh, wow. I just guessed.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
The number of chicks that hatch has dropped by 11%, and the number of young non-breeding birds has plummeted by 46%.
Yikes.
I don't know what we do to protect the loons, but...
Shoot the humans.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty good.
No, you know I'm being facetious.
Loons are so cute. I like the way that the little babies get on the back of their parents and they float around.
Yeah, adorable.
Their first sign of summer in Madison.
Yeah. Yep, yep. No, I love them. Oh, let's see. I got another labor story here. This is workers at the first unionized Apple store in the country ratified a labor contract on Tuesday. This is they had a year and a half of bargaining. It stalled for long stretches. You know, the company was kind of kicking it down the road. But finally, they announced the outcome, and Apple did not dispute the result and said it was pleased to have an agreement. So the contract is going to cover 85 workers at Towson, Maryland. And I love this. The store people decided to join the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. And birthday caterers.
And birthday caterers? Oh, yeah, no. I mean, this little thing in my pocket, this little computer in my pocket has more power than whatever landed the men on the moon, you know?
Yeah. This goes back in those days, they had the stones to go with that.
The abacuses.
Well, we were thinking about that when we were driving around Iceland. It's like, okay, so, you know, voice on the phone, tell us where to go. And the voice on the phone is like, you know, drive so-and-so, you know, kilometers to blah, blah, blah. And it's like, man, what do people do? I mean, it really is amazing. It's like, okay.
I have a friend who really wants to take some length of road trip with a map.
Yeah.
And we told him that he needs to practice driving around Madison, where he lived most of his life, without using Google Maps wherever he goes. So that's the first test. Can you get around places that you know without Google Maps?
The scary thing was a couple years ago, I went looking for a map My Aunt Hilda lives in Columbus, Ohio, and she loves Columbus, Ohio. And I thought, you know, a perfect birthday present for her would be to get her a big map and frame it of Columbus. And I went to a bunch of bookstores and gas stations. And, you know, it's like, do you guys have maps? Like, well, just look on your phone. I was like, no. I was explaining to these people in this bookstore. It's like, no, it's like for to hang up on the wall, you know, like a, here's my city. And they were a little dumbfounded by the concept. It was kind of like, why would anyone want to do that? Well, my aunt would, and she's, you know, 80 or whatever, so. Thomas called and wants to remind all of us that one of the festivals happening is next weekend's, and we've been to this, Mel and I have, Eakin Park Festival.
Yes, right.
At which WRT will have a booth. So thank you, Thomas, for calling. And we really enjoyed that when we went over that, it was a couple years ago now, we went over there and we didn't even, I'd never been on the other side of that road, you know, I didn't even know there was anything over there. And it was fun and people were really, really nice. And so maybe we'll go again. I'll see how Mel's feeling, huh? See how his alien leg is operating.
Tell him I'll push the wheelchair for him if you want.
Oh, that sounds great. So Thomas, thank you. And, the Eakin Park Festival, which would be not this weekend, but the weekend after. Is that right?
I can Google it.
Why don't you do that? I'm temporarily unable.
All right, the Eakin Park Festival is happening August 17th.
Okay, yep.
So
very good. All right, so the week after this
week one. After yep, this week. Yep.
Excellent. Because tomorrow's the 10th, so.
Because tomorrow's the 10th, so add 7. That's a 17.
Multiply by 3.
And then the 18th, which is the day after, is Magic Pride.
Yeah. Yes, right. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. So we could be busy.
We could be
doing things.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I will actually be at Magic Pride from 11 to 1, I believe, is when
Are you performing?
Yes, but just behind the WORT booth. So you got to come find me.
Okay.
What? Really leading you up here. The South Australian Research and Development Institute and the University of Adelaide have a new report
Sweet
out.
Sweet Adelaide. Sorry.
It shows the images,
okay.
Video images
sure.
of the bottom of the ocean. And it was this footage was captured by some really important helpers.
Yes.
Daphne, Phoebe, Iris, and
what?
I was struggling with this name.
Yeah.
And so then I wrote it out phonetically, and I don't think it's helping me. Pasithea. Pasithea.
Is it P.S.?
It's the name of a goddess.
P-A-S-I-T-H-E-A. Okay.
Anyway, they are a bunch of sea lions.
Oh, excellent.
Who they strap cameras to.
Or sea lionesses, as the case may be.
Yeah. And they go over and get some really good bottom of the ocean floor images that, you know, couldn't be seen by humans or robots or whoever else goes to the bottom of the ocean. And obviously they're getting... activity of other sea lions, which is important to the research, which is very...
What do sea lions do on a normal day?
I think they swim.
Yeah.
They sunbathe.
Yeah.
They swim.
Yeah.
They eat. Sunbathe. Honestly, exactly what I want to do. That's what I would like to be doing all summer long. It's the day of notes.
Dane dances at Monona Terrace tonight.
Yep. Yep, we are. There's lots of things to be doing in Madison. Speaking of, one of the other things that I'm really excited about this weekend is there is A 2-day long rugby sevens event happening in Cottage Grove. I know you're not excited about it, but the U.S. women's sevens team just won bronze. They beat Australia, which was a huge upset. And you can see some of the best players in the nation. Or I guess, I don't know if they're the best, but you'll see who is the best, what team's the best. There's 16 women's and 16
men's.
So
what's the greatest thing about rugby?
The greatest thing about rugby is it's very fast, much faster than football.
Okay, that would be great.
Yeah, much faster than football. Sevens in particular is really fast. There's only seven people for each team on the field, and they're 2 7-minute halves. The whole game is over in 15 minutes.
I hate football. It has violence, committee meetings, and lots of boredom.
Sure. Rugby has violence, but lots of, like, you know, shaking hands and hugging after the game, lots of drinking beer with the other team after the game.
That sounds good.
And women can play it, which isn't necessarily the case with football.
Okay.
So we like rugby in this house.
All right, well, I will conform myself accordingly.
I made Lux watch so much rugby, and he's going to come with me to the
lovely spouse.
Week. Yeah.
I've been to football games because I've been persuaded by companions.
Sure,
now.
Yeah.
And I got a better idea of what it was about when I saw it in like 3D. Because when you watch on TV, it's like, oh, numbers are going by. You know, like, oh, there's another number they're running by. What does that mean? But when you see this, like, oh, it's a little rabbit and it's being chased by the foxes, you know, or whatever, then you suddenly understand. Run, little rabbit, run!
Run, little rabbit. Yeah, rugby's like that, but there's no, the offense and the defense are like the same people, so there's no stopping to like switch out the sides.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I'm going to find out more about it.
Yeah, you don't have to, but.
I will, just because you made it sound so
okay, cool.
Interesting.
I'll send you like the highlights the game from the Olympic Games.
So I got two little stories here, which are very much summertime stories. One is a story about sweet corn.
Oh, yeah?
Sweet corn gets a bad rap because people think of corn. They think of high fructose corn syrup. But corn on the cob is actually good for you. Yellow sweet corn has little in common with processed corn products. It's pretty healthy. It promotes digestion. It's a source of energy, has vitamins, and you should have some today. Brought to you by the Corn Council. And then another little story about tomatoes. Tomatoes, they're juicy, versatile, and healthy. I'm trying to get you to eat some tomatoes. They're 95% water, which is good because it's hot. And when it's hot, you need a lot of water. So fresh, raw tomatoes have the highest water content. Basically, but it's about anything you can get, even better than a watermelon, and they have lycopene, which can help protect against cancer. That's an antioxidant, and they have lots of vitamins and minerals. So if you want to have something to eat, why don't you have a ear of corn, sweet corn, or why don't you have a tomato? Especially if you go to the farmer's market and get a nice heirloom tomato, those are lovely. Those actually taste like something as well.
My tomatoes are just starting to get ripe, and my dog ate one right off the counter. So don't leave your tomatoes on the counter.
Hey, I do want to announce that Reverend Velveteen is going to be subbing for Jaguar.
Oh,
today,
perfect.
Just so everyone knows.
Also, one other festival talking about corn is the Sun Prairie Corn Corn
is that
Fest.
Up?
Yep, that's happening on the 14th through the 18th. Nope, the 17th.
Do you know what I love about that? I love the trees where they have the salt hanging from the tree. Companion absolutely loves salt. It's just it's horrifying to try to get him not to do that. If we had a salt lick in the living room, he'd be like a deer just sitting there licking it all day long.
Does he like I'd like a margarita. Hold,
oh, yeah.
Hold
oh,
the margarita.
Extra salt, please.
Yeah, just give me a cup with the salt rim.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think that does it for today. I think it's time that we declare the weekend. The weekend. Yay. Have fun out there, folks. I feel like summer feels like it's winding down, so get outside, enjoy the nice weather, watch some rugby.
We brought this weather with us from Iceland, by the way.
I thought it was.
In case you're curious.
I was wondering if it wasn't like the hurricane and stuff. up next is Who Cooks for You, but we'll hear The Kiosk, and then we have lots of wonderful programming coming up. It was really nice seeing you, Pants. I think Mel's going to be back next week.
Yeah.
It's been good. So,
but it would be nice to see you, too. Yeah. If you want to buzz in when we're here, that's great, too.
Yeah, I'm happy to buzz.
And again, to remind everybody, Reverend Velveteen will be here for the Jaguar today.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
With the hot pants on, filthy Mac Dixon, all night long.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, August 9th.
This is Helena White reporting from a parallel universe where people are treated humanely, Mother Nature is respected, and governments unite to end the climate crisis. Here's the news from this parallel universe. Or is it news from this universe? I can no longer tell the difference. You decide. For the week ending July 27th, 2024. The nation was stunned this week when a rich old white man voluntarily gave up a position of immense power. I was gobsmacked, reported Latasha Johnson. Usually the Democrats shoot themselves in the foot and keep shooting, but Biden did what's best for his party and the country. It's so unusual. Plus, this might save us from Trump. It's not fair, wailed Trump. We were ready for Sleepy Joe, but where's my insulting nickname for Kamala? Crooked Kamala? Sleepy Kamala doesn't fit. I suggested Kamala the booby prize, but my staff said no. I demand a refund! Meanwhile, in Africa, the Mo Ibrahim Foundation awards millions of dollars to African heads of state who peacefully transfer power when they lose a democratic election. Friday, they announced, "We are considering awarding Joe Biden this year's prize. We are struck by the contrast between Biden, who stepped down so Ms. Harris became the first woman of color presidential candidate from a major party, and Trump, who orchestrated a violent coup attempt after losing the 2020 election." Apparently, democracy needs to be encouraged outside Africa, too. 23 leaders have received the award since 2007. Oh, joke's on you! That's the parallel universe! In the real universe, Biden's award would make it 8. And that's it for the news from a parallel universe where people are treated humanely, Mother Nature is respected, and governments unite to end the climate crisis. Now over to weather with Rob McClure. How's the weather looking, Rob?
The Kiosk brings